Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 427, the second verse. Jehovah is my strength and tower. He is my happiness and song. He saved me in the trying hour. Hence shall my mouth his praise prolong. The voice of gladness and salvation is in the tents of righteousness. There do they sing with adoration. The Lord's right hand is strong to bless. Stanzas 2 of 427. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. John, there of the 21st chapter, the first 17 verses. But first let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention John 21, the first 17 verses. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Soon then, as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask for the Lord's presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, merciful and gracious, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, creator of all things and upholder of all things, in thee we live and move and have our being. And it is in thy long-suffering patience and mercy and goodness that we may again enter into thy house as a congregation, as families with our children and individuals, to hear what thou hast to say unto us from thy precious word. Lord, we beg and pray thee that as we have gathered together in thy house, that thou would gather with us, that thou would come among us and work mightily and irresistibly by the power of thy Holy Spirit and thy word, that sinners would be born again, that sinners would be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Oh, that dead sinners may be given life, and that they may then begin to hunger and thirst for thee, for the living God, and that they would have no rest until they may taste something of thy mercy, of thy love, through thy dear Son. Oh, we beg and pray thee, Lord, remember then the whole congregation. Oh, we beg and pray thee, remember those who have come into thy house and yet are on the broad way that leadeth to eternal destruction. And oh, how we can be on that broad way, knowing the truth, yet comfortably lost, being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, yet lost, being in church on Sunday and living the rest of the week in the world, lost. Oh, we beg thee, Lord. And may there also be those who are crying and sighing unto thee for their fellow travelers to a never-ending eternity. Oh, that sinners, sons, children, husband, wife, other relatives, but also those in the same congregation who are yet lost may be saved by thy free and sovereign grace. But remember also those who may be on false grounds, yet on the broad way, thinking that they are on that narrow way. Oh, we beg thee, if there is some also in that state, that thou would awaken them in this morning. Lord, soul lost, all lost, we beg and pray thee that thou would come among us and search us and try us, and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in that way of everlasting life. And Lord, remember all thy dear children, those whom thou hast made alive, who have been regenerated, who have received a new heart. But Lord, thou knowest how it is, how they have come into thy house in this morning. Oh, may they have come when they see so much sin. How could it ever be that I have the grace of God in me? And if I sin so much, how can I love that holy, that good-doing God? Oh, we beg and pray thee that by thy word and by the Holy Spirit, that thy poor and needy, tried and afflicted people may receive a little comfort, especially when we hear that question from thy word, lovest thou me? Oh, may thy Spirit testify with all those who have that love planted in their hearts for thee, for thy Son, for their fellow traveler to eternity, and especially also for the family of God. O wilt thou show them what that love is, and that they may see yet with all their wretchedness that there is that love planted by thee, that they may be given to answer as Peter has answered, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest all things. Oh, what a comfort for thy people that thou art that all-knowing God. Thou knowest our hearts, all the affections, all the emotions, all the sin, but also that life that thou hast planted, that hunger, thirst for thee, that longing for thee, that desire for thee, that thou would come and speak, that thou would visit, that thou would feed, that thou would comfort with thyself. Oh, we beg thee then that thou would accompany thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit and convict and convince of all those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, that they are only lovers of self, sin, world, Satan, and oh, that they may be awakened, that they may become lost, guilty before thee, a holy, just, almighty God, who will by no means clear the guilty. But Lord, remember also all thy dear little lambs and sheep, recipients of thy free and sovereign grace. Oh, we beg and pray thee that thou would comfort them, that thou would instruct them, and if they need reproof, reprove them and admonish them. And if they have gone astray and their love has waxed cold, oh, draw them again by those cords of love unto thyself, and that those that have that love in their heart, that it may be a flame of love for thy honor, for thy glory, that they may live more hating sin and loving righteousness, serving thee, obeying thee. O Lord, wilt thou come then with the wind of thy Spirit and blow upon the hearts of all thy dear children? Oh, that those smoking flax may burst into flames of love for thy honor, for thy glory. Lord, we beg and pray and ask thee to remember then the whole congregation. We all have the same name, sinner, and we all need thy grace, and we all need that same Savior. But Lord, we know it. We've been instructed, but may it become real. May it become an urgent case in our hearts and our souls by the work of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, we pray that thou would not pass us by, as we righteous, thou could righteously do because of all our sins. But we beg thee, Lord, as thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Oh, may we beg and plead thee for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, for the coming of thy kingdom, that more sheep here also in Cortland may be gathered in under that one shepherd, one fold. Oh, they will hear his voice through law and gospel. They will be taught by the Holy Spirit, convinced of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Oh, work mightily then, Lord, irresistibly, and thou hast promised that thy word will never return unto thee void. Oh, may we then together have that hope and expectation in who thou art, that almighty, covenant, faithful, keeping Jehovah. We beg and pray thee, remember all the mourning ones, widows, widowers, those who've lost children, a father, a mother, a sibling, a friend. O Lord, thou art the God of all comfort. Remember those who also stood around an open grave in this past week. Remember the Bile family. Remember Case and Ada and all those related. Oh, we beg and pray thee, sanctify the calling. Oh, may the death of one be the life of many by the application of the Holy Spirit upon thy word. Remember all the sick and afflicted, those who have had accidents, Remember Kurt. Remember Benton. Oh, we beg and pray thee, give him a thankful heart that thou hast spared life. Give healing and give them this time of affliction that they may sit still and be given a time to reflect and to use the time wisely to search the scriptures, and that thou would bless it, and that they may say, it was good for me to have been afflicted, that it was a blessing for my soul. Remember also Jeff Valdesgraf, bless the treatments. Remember Luciana also. O Lord, wilt thou care for her also, that little girl with cancer. Lord, remember them. Bless the means. Spare life. But especially we beg for them, for their souls, and remember their families. Uphold them. Care for them, Lord. We beg and pray thee that thou would then remember those receiving tests and waiting for tests. Give patience. Give submission. Give grace to follow thee. That thou art that infinite, wise, all-knowing, good-doing, perfect Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, who is never one who makes an error, who is infinitely wise in his ways are best. O Lord, wilt thou then give that surrendering and that following thee? We beg and pray thee then help each one to listen in this morning. Give a voice and the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, thus saith the Lord, and that we may listen. Help to keep it clear, simple, that the children may understand. Oh, give them a new heart. Remember the teenagers, the young adults. Oh, wilt thou draw them to thyself with the cords of love, and that they may have that same spirit of Joseph, that they may say, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? O Lord, we all need it, from the oldest to the youngest. We need to be renewed. We need thy grace. We need to be conformed to the image of thy Son. O Lord, come then, work mightily, renewing, teaching, stripping, and filling with thyself. O wilt thou also give opening to lift up that precious name, that Savior of sinners, of him who came into this world to seek and to save lost sinners, who came to fulfill the law for transgressors, for lawbreakers, to love his Father in that perfect way for those who only love self, who came to pay that price with his sacrifice for those who must pay and who have nothing. Oh, we beg and pray thee, Lord, richly bless the precious gospel to the glory of thy name, to the coming of thy kingdom, to the salvation of sinners and the edification of thy dear people. Lord, remember all thy servants throughout the entire world. Help each one to be faithful, to preach thy word according to the meaning of the Spirit, and bless it. Bless all means of mission among Jew and Gentile, among thy covenant people. O Lord, we beg thee that thou would take away that veil from their eyes, and that they may see that thy word, the New Testament, that testifies of Jesus Christ, that he is the promised Messiah. Oh, richly bless it, Lord. But remember also, wherever thy word may go out, also to all Gentiles, locally, in prison, among children, neighbors, at work, and college, but also in faraway lands. And may we ask thee also especially to bless thy word in Bolivia. Remember also the deputies there. Care for them. Help them in all the responsibilities. And may they return and give a good report, that we may hear of the wonderful works of God. Help then the church workers there. Give them faithfulness. Constrain them by the love of Christ. Remember the elders, the deacons, all thy servants. Pastor Marco, help them, Lord. Guide them, lead them, and use them as instruments in thy hand, that they may be a voice crying as we may be, unto the people, prepare to meet thy God. Repent, seek refuge in that only Savior before it is forever too late. O Lord, bless it richly then that many in Bolivia, but also here, may be born again, may be made thy children, and be led unto that only Savior, to be guided by him, taught by him, fed by him. Have mercy, Lord. We have left thee never to return, but what a wonder. Thou hast gone after Adam, calling, "Where art thou?" And thou art that same merciful, long-suffering and patient Lord God of heaven and earth. Thou art still calling unto us, "Where art thou?" Thou art looking for that image, that image that thou hast made us, and thou hast a right. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then wilt thou send help from the sanctuary to listen. Take away all the thoughts, all the other things that may enter into our mind. Take it all away, that we may be given to listen to thy voice, to thy word. Give much prayer, give opening, richly bless it. Oh, we beg and pray thee, wash and cleanse us of all our many sins, and look upon us, hear us, answer us, and visit us, because of him who sits at thy right hand, and whom thou art well pleased. Oh, we may plead upon his merits, his righteousness, and his blood, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 310, all six stanzas. I love the Lord for my request, and humble plea he makes his care. In him through life my face shall rest, for he both hears and answers prayer. 310, all six stanzas, and the collections for today is the first for the church and the second for the theological school. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the Lord created you and me with a deep, profound affection for Him. Man was created in the image of God. And what did John write about God in his first epistle? God is love. So what affection, what deep, profound affection did Adam and Eve have in paradise before they fell? Love. Affection for the triune God. In paradise, man's heart radiated with love for God and for his neighbor. But man rebelled against God, sinned against the highest majesty in heaven, and by his sin, he ruined his heart. He corrupted his affection for God. By rebellion against God, man plunged himself in total depravity. And now, man is born with his will against God, only wants to do his own will. No thought for God, no seeking God, only thoughts of self and seeking everything but God and a Savior. And no profound affection for God and for the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Man lost the image of God by sin. God created him, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And we have made our hearts desperately wicked. Wicked. What's a wicked heart? No love for God. No love for that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, but only lovers of self. What does fallen man have? What's his heart now? In paradise, it was radiating with love. What do we read in the Heidelberg Catechism? In Lord's Day 2, I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. That's you and me by nature. Hate God. Is it really that bad? Is that what it really is? That's sin, hating God. And what did Paul write in Romans 8, verse 7? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. God created you and me with a heart that created with affection, love for Him. And now instead of seeing love, a heart full of affection just for Him, He sees hatred and enmity. He sees it. He sees your heart. He sees my heart. How this must grieve Him. I've made man in my image to love me, and man by nature just hates me. It's all enmity. He made us to love Him. How? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say in Matthew 22, verse 37? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And instead of God seeing love, He sees us by nature serving self, loving the world, sin, serving Satan, and enmity and hatred towards Him. And yet God has a right to demand that the creatures that He made with affection for Him, that they would love Him. Listen to what we read in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. The Lord has the right to demand of you and me a heart radiating with affection for Him. But how will a fallen boy, girl, man, woman, teenager, how will a sinner who only lives with a heart with hatred and enmity to God, how will they ever love Him again? How will God ever see in the hearts of wretched sinners affection, pleasing affection for Him and for His Son? How is there hope? By His free and sovereign grace. Sinners are renewed, recreated, a new heart, a new will, new thoughts, and new affections. There comes a beginning again of affection for him. Listen to what we read in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. Why? To what? Now listen. To love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. So what does it mean, circumcise thine heart? It means regenerate. It means recreate, to be born again, to have a new heart, children. To do what? Why does he do that? To, again, have a people to begin to love him, and they'll be brought through this life and to eternally love him. Again, their hearts will only be radiating with love and praise for him. And they have the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. And what do we read about the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And what is the fruit of the flesh? What do we read in that same chapter in verse 19? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then we read in verse 20, hatred. Hatred. So the natural man, there's only hatred. Hatred for God. You say, really? Yes, by God's common grace, there's a common love. Common love. Who doesn't love their mother? But what sinner truly, profoundly loves God and that only Savior? None without his grace. We're all guilty. But man with grace, by God's grace, born again, born of the Spirit, dwelling in them, and there comes a love for God, and there comes a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in John 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So the question is this morning, are you only born of the flesh? We all are. We're all born. We have a natural birth. But are you only born of the flesh? Or are you also born of the Spirit? How can you know? How can you know? What clear mark from Scripture, which we will consider this morning, that you may know? What distinguishes between those who are only born of the flesh and those who are born of the flesh and the Spirit? What affection do the children of God have for God? Love. What affection do the sheep of the Good Shepherd have for the Good Shepherd? Love. And so this morning, with the Lord's help, we will consider the question that the Lord Jesus asked Peter. And we will consider what we read in that question in John chapter 21, verse 17. John 21, verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. The theme this morning is the question of the Lord Jesus to Peter and to you and me. So the theme is, lovest thou me? Or I could say, do you love me? The Lord is asking that question. It's not my question. It's his question. Lovest thou me? Listen for your own heart, for your own soul. Three thoughts. First, an earnest inquiry. It's an earnest inquiry to Peter, and it's an earnest inquiry to you and to me. Lovest thou me? Second, a heart-searching affection. We will go a little deeper. We will go a little narrower. Right to the very core of what it is. Lovest thou me? Me. Who's asking that? The Lord Jesus Christ. So he's asking, do you love me? We'll focus on that. But how do we know? How do we really know? Can we know? Yes, we can. And so our third thought is evidence of love for the Lord Jesus. So the theme, lovest thou me? First, an earnest inquiry. Second, a heart-searching affection. Lovest thou me? And third, evidence of love for the Lord Jesus. So with the Lord's help, an earnest inquiry. The Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, again visits, reveals, shows himself unto his sheep, the disciples, as they were fishing on the Sea of Galilee, as we read in this chapter. How many fish did they catch, children? How long were they working? They toiled all night, and they didn't catch one fish, as we read in verse 5. And then the Lord Jesus instructs them to cast the net on the other side of the ship. And what happened, children? A great miracle. They caught exactly 153 great fish. 153. What's the lesson for these disciples? And for those who work in his kingdom, without me you can do nothing. We are called to cast out the net of the gospel in the preaching, as Thomas Boston says, but without his blessing, we will not catch one fish. And the other side, with his blessing, there will be a net full of great fish. So that's the first lesson in this chapter. But who is also fishing? Who's with the disciples? Peter. What happened when this miracle took place? John said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Could you imagine in the boat beside Peter and saying, "Peter, it's the Lord." What does Peter do? We read he took his coat on because he was naked. No, don't think the wrong way. He was just, let's say it simply, he was in his undershirt. And he put his overcoat on. And what did he do? What did he do, Peter? What did he do? He jumped into the water. Why? Did he want to swim away? Did he want to hide like Adam? The Lord, it's the Lord, John said. Did Peter just want to get far away? Did he just want to hide, escape? No. Peter, he couldn't wait. He couldn't wait to get to that shore. He couldn't wait for that boat because he knew it was going to take such a long time taking all that great load of all the fish. He wanted to be there immediately. He had an eager desire to be with the Lord. Do you understand that? Did you have an eagerness to come into God's house this morning, bowing your knees, longing that he would come, that he would visit, that he would show himself? Peter had a longing, an urgency. And then we read in verse 12 through 14 that the Lord Jesus Christ, he has prepared a meal, and he asked them to come and to eat, to dine with them. And then after that, then we see in verses 15 through 17 the Lord Jesus Christ interviewing Peter, interviewing especially Peter, in a wise, a kind, compassionate, firm way. He's earnestly inquiring into Peter's heart for something. What? Jesus says unto Peter, "Lovest thou me?" Peter, do you really love me? Peter, do you love me? It's a question for you and me also this morning. It's nice to hear a history of someone else, but the Lord is also asking you and me this morning, so-and-so, boy, girl, teenager, adult, older one, do you love me? Lovest thou me? In a relationship with God, there must be humility. Because we are absolute wretches, and he's that high majesty in heaven. There should be that filial fear, that awe, that reverence. There should be repentance. There should be faith. There should be honor. There should be glory. But also, there must be love. In the relationship with God, there must be love. Because if there's no love, it's not a relationship. It's not a relationship. There are many who profess and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. He's the Savior. But they don't love him. It's all on the lips and it doesn't come out of the heart. What about the devils? The devils believe and tremble, but no love. They have faith, but no love. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 13. Others can preach. Others can explain all kinds of biblical histories and truths and doctrines. Others can give much money to the poor, have great faith that they can move mountains, and even give their body to be burnt. But they're missing something, something essential. Let's read those verses together. 1 Corinthians 13, the first three verses. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. The Lord is looking for love. The Lord is looking for affection for himself, for his son, for that Savior. And the only thing that is pleasing to him is affection. He wants the heart. He says, my son, give me thine heart. Love is the main thing in a relationship. Children, what do you want from your mother? What do you want from your father? Imagine if they gave you all kinds of gifts, but you never ever felt affection. You never felt love. You wouldn't be happy. It wouldn't please you. Husbands, what do you want from your wife? Wife, what do you want from your husband? You want love. You want to be appreciated. It's a key ingredient in a relationship, love. But this is also true in a spiritual relationship with God. God circumcised the heart. Why? That they begin to love him again. And therefore, Jesus asked Peter a very earnest question and inquiry. Lovest thou me? An earnest inquiry into the very heart of Peter. Now let's think about this. A few things. When we see them together, the Lord Jesus, the disciples, and Peter, let's think of a few things that we see and what we hear. What do we see at that place? There's a fire. There's a fire. There's coals. We read in verse 9, they saw a fire of coals there. Peter saw that fire. And what do you think that fire reminded him of? What does it remind him of? It reminds him of another fire. What fire? It's a fire when he denied his dear master, as we read in Luke 22, verse 56 and 57. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. He denied his master. Peter saw that fire, and it reminded him of a fire that reminded him of a painful remembrance of his sin of denying his dear master. But what else? What does the Lord call Peter? What name does he use? Does he use the name Peter? No, he doesn't. We read Simon, son of Jonas. Peter, after he was called, he was known by what name? Peter. But the Lord now reverts to his old name, Simon, son of Jonas. He's referring to his old nature, to who Peter was. What did the name Peter signify? Well, remember when Peter made that confession that we read in Matthew 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said, thou art Peter. Thou art that rock, that confession that I will build my church upon. Thou art Peter. But now he doesn't say Peter. He calls him Simon, son of Jonas. He reminds Peter, Peter, you didn't stand like a rock at all. Peter, you said you were going to be faithful, but you're not faithful at all. You haven't lived to that name, to the grace that I have given you. You've been living according to that old man, that old nature. Peter hears it. Peter, he hears Simon, son of Jonas. And the Lord Jesus asks him three times. Three times, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Why? Because three times, remember children, he denied that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does it publicly in front of the other disciples. Why? Because Peter had publicly denied him. Public sin needs public confession. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is publicly restoring Peter into that office. But he's asking an earnest inquiry to his heart. Lovest thou me? And now let's look at these questions. These questions of the Lord Jesus Christ are different. To us, they look the same, but in the Greek, they are different. And may they be instruction for us. May they be comfort for God's people. So the first question in verse 15, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Why did the Lord Jesus ask Peter, lovest thou me more than these, referring to the other disciples? Remember when the Lord Jesus told them he's going to suffer and die? They became shocked, confused, offended that he would be crucified. How did Peter respond? Open your Bible to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. There we read of the Lord Jesus speaking of his crucifixion and Peter's response. Matthew 26, verse 33. And the Lord Jesus told them that we'd suffer or die. And now Peter, in verse 33, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And then the Lord Jesus speaks to him in verse 34, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And then Peter responded, as we read in verse 35, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Peter, with these responses to the Lord Jesus Christ, is implying that he loves the Lord more than all the other disciples, that he will be more faithful than all the other disciples, and he's actually speaking and saying, I have such deep love, love of agape, that I will even be willing to die with you. So with this first question, the Lord Jesus asking Peter, Peter, do you love me more? Peter, can you say that? Can you still say that? That you love me with such a deep love, agape, that you love me more than all these other disciples, that you will be more faithful than all of them? Peter, is that really true? Peter, I'm looking into your heart. I see into your heart. It's an earnest inquiry. Do you love me more than all these other ones, all these other disciples? How did Peter answer? Did he say, Lord, I love thee more. I'm more faithful. No, Peter can't say that no more. He's learned a lesson. He's been taught in the school of grace. Peter, yes, he had love. Yes, he longed to be faithful. But he didn't know himself. He didn't know the depth of his sinfulness. He was proud and he needed to be humbled. He needed to be brought low so he could be used as a shepherd for sheep, because proud shepherds don't care for the sheep, don't care for the lambs. They need to be humbled, and that's painful, but it's good, because then they can stand beside the sheep. They can care for the sheep. They can care for the lambs instead of beating them with rods. Peter has been humbled. And oh, to be in an office, we need humility. But all of God's children, they all need it. They need humility. They need to lose all self-confidence in self and to depend entirely and completely upon him and his grace. Peter learned. He wrote to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he learned his greatest lesson. Peter, without me, you can't stand for a moment. And how does Peter answer? Verse 50, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. My friend, do you love the Lord? Or are you yet so self-confident, pride, not needing him at all, but you as a recipient of grace? Do you think secretly, yeah, those people, they're children of God, but I'm a little better. I'm more faithful. I have more love. I have more zeal. The Lord knows it. What a lesson to be humbled. They become humble at that school of grace. They stand beside. No, they exalt the other than themselves. Because they learn, I'm the chiefest. And those others must be so much better than me. And then the second question. Jesus now asks Peter again the same question, but he leaves a part out. He leaves a part out. Let's read it in verse 16. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He doesn't ask, lovest thou me more than these? No, the Lord drops that piece. But now the Lord is asking him, do you love me? The other disciples didn't deny me. They didn't deny me. Do you really love me? No, not do you love me more, but do you really love me, Peter? Do you really? What an earnest inquiry into his heart, into the heart of affection. Do you really love me? Can you say that, Peter? All these other disciples didn't deny me, but you did three times. Peter, I'm wondering, do you really love me? I'm wondering, do you really love me? With all your sin, do you really love me? How will Peter respond? Did Peter sink away? Lord, thou knowest all my sin. I can never say that again. No, listen to how he responded. Verse 16. Yea, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest that I love thee. My friend, the Lord is asking you. He's asking you this morning. No, you cannot escape. Don't try to hide. Listen, it's his question. Lovest thou me? Do you really love me? I'm looking for love. And then the third question. Verse 17. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And as I said, in these questions, there is different Greek words. Words that we don't see with it's written in English. But in Greek, you see the difference. In the word love, to explain in Greek, there's the word agape, the most deep, profound, self-sacrificing, full love. God is love. God is agape. The fullest love that there ever can be. Infinite love. But there's also another word, philio in Greek. That means, do you have affection? Do you have love for me? As a friend loves a friend. Is there love? Is there affection? It's not as great. And yet, it's love, it's affection. So in the first two questions, the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, lovest thou me? He uses the word agape. But now in the last question, the Lord changes it in the word in Greek. He doesn't ask Peter, do you agape love me? The fullest, no, he goes lower. Peter, philio, do you have affection for me? Do you have affection for me as a friend loves a friend? So he's not asking, do you love me more than the others? Do you really love me? Peter, do you even love me even as a friend loves a friend? Is there affection? Peter hears it. He has the ears to hear what the Lord Jesus is asking him. He knows. Peter is grieved because he asked him the third time. But the Lord is not only asking him, he knows it. He's searching right into his heart. Do you love me more? Peter couldn't say that. He could only say, Lord, thou knowest all things. I love thee. And then he asks in that second question, do you really love me? And Peter still answered, thou knowest, Lord. I love thee. I love thee, Lord. And now he's asking him, Peter, do you even have that lowest affection, that real affection? Yes, affection, love. As a friend loveth a friend, how will Peter respond? Are you searching in your heart? I can't say I have the fullest agape love. What man, what woman can ever say that? We don't have that love. God has that love. No man has a love. And yet, by the work of the Holy Spirit, they have filial love. Love, affection. How does Peter answer? Verse 17, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Peter denied knowing the Lord Jesus Christ three times, but he never, ever could, even in the presence of the good shepherd, that master, he could not deny that he loved him. And this is the reality of all God's dear people, the lambs and the sheep. Oh, they see so much sin. And sometimes they wonder, how could there be ever any love? And yet they still, their hearts go out to him with all the wretchedness, with all the sin. Lord, thou knowest all things. They open their heart to him and they can say, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. They can never, ever confess, oh Lord, I have such perfect, full love, because it's all completely twisted and corrupted with sin in their lives. They miss that full love. They long to love him with that deep, full love as he is worthy of. But they confess filial love. Dear sheep, lambs, what an encouragement. Peter, he couldn't proclaim that he had that full love that the Lord is so worthy with. But he couldn't deny that affection. Is that you this morning? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. I love thee because thou lovest me first. Thou hast found me. Thou hast sought me. Thou hast renewed me. Thou hast drawn me with those cords of love. And because of thy love, I love thee. I love thee. Notice Peter didn't use that word agape. And he confessed that lower love, filio. How did the Lord Jesus respond? Did he say, Peter, I'm not satisfied. That's no love. You need to have that agape. Because if you don't have that agape love, it's nothing. No. He didn't. He drew that out of Peter. And Peter confessed it. And he knows in the hearts of his sheep that they have that love. He sees it, but he wants to hear it from their mouth. And so this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is asking every single one of us without exception, lovest thou me? Do you love me? Do you have affection for me? And Peter appealed to the omniscience of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he could open his heart with all his sin, all his deep wickedness and wretchedness, and he could say, Lord, look at my heart. Thou knowest. It's there, Lord. He couldn't hide it. He couldn't deny it. He could confess it. How can you answer this question? How do you answer this question? But now let's go a little deeper. The heart-searching affection. It's not only earnest inquiry about love. It goes right to an object of someone who. The Lord Jesus Christ this morning is not asking, do you love to go to church? Do you love the truth? Do you live without sin? Do you love doctrines? Do you love benefits? But he's asking one essential question. He's going to the very core and the heart of his children. He's asking, do you love me? Lovest thou me? True faith comes to love the second person in the Trinity. Are you wondering, with all your sin, with all your riddles, with all your questions, is this the grace of God in my heart? Yes or no? Here it is. There comes love. Love for the Savior of sinners. There comes a saving affection. Their hearts are drawn unto a person, unto someone, unto a good shepherd, unto a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's asking you this morning, not just about love, but specific love. Heart-searching affection. The Lord Jesus is not asking Peter, do you love my teachings? Peter loved them. Do you love my miracles? I'm sure Peter loved it because he could see the glory of the Savior. Peter, do you love my doctrines? I'm sure Peter loved those truths. And they are precious. But he has a heart-searching question of affection. Lovest thou me? Sheep begin to love the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And many say they love him, but they love him for his benefits only. There's a difference. Who doesn't want benefits? Children, you like benefits from your mom and dad. And you say, I love my dad because he bought me a car or he bought me a bike. I love my mom because They give me food. But do you love your mom for who she is? Yes, you do, because she's precious. The sheep of the good shepherd don't only appreciate and love those benefits. They love him for who he is. They love his person. They love the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. They begin to love him in all his attributes. They love his power. That power that he's so mighty, able to save absolutely helpless sinners who cannot save themselves. They love him who knows everything. Sometimes you have house visitation, and then the elder and the deacon maybe come and visit, and you share your heart, and maybe they leave, and you say, that was so poor, I couldn't share what was in my heart. But could you cry out to the living God? Lord, thou knowest all things. What a comfort. What a comfort for those sheep when they cannot explain everything properly and clearly, when it's all under clouds again. But when they can apply a cry out to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. But what a fear. What a fear for the goats, that he knows everything. That he knows in your heart and in your life that there is no love. There's just love for self, love for sin, love for the world, sitting in church, but loving everything but God. What a fear. May it come home this morning. May the Lord bless his word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that all those who do not love him in truth and sincerity may go home lost. And may those who know something of this love go home with a little comfort. They begin to love him for his grace, because he's gracious. Why? Because his grace abounds above all my sin. My sin doesn't cause him to flee away. My sin doesn't close the door. No, because his grace is above all that sin, all that wretchedness, all that filth, all that old man that still clings to me. They love him because of who he is. They love him as that prophet to teach them, and they need to be taught. They long to be taught, and he's that perfect one, that great one to teach them. They begin to love him also and to know him as that priest that he made that sacrifice for them. They love him because he loved them first, and to see that I went to the cross to pay, to satisfy the justice for you. Oh, then that love burns even deeper for him, for who he is as that priest. But they need him also as that ascending, thanking, interceding high priest, ever praying for them, interceding as that advocate at the right hand of the Father. But they need him also and love him as a king. Are you powerless? Powerless to change your heart? Powerless to clean that heart? The king, that good shepherd, they begin to love him because he has the power. Yes, they are called to flee from sin, but to clean that heart, to clean the affections, to clean the thoughts, to clean my being. I can't do it. It just stays sin. But he has the power. He has the might. He has the might to keep them. And he has that might and power to bring them home into the eternal love. Lovest thou me. Love is essential. Open your Bible, please. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. The Lord Jesus Christ is searching our hearts this morning for love, for affection. And now listen, what Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. What does that mean? Cursed. Cursed. And if we live that way and die that way, then we will be cursed at his coming. Anathema, maranatha. Cursed at the coming of the Lord. Do you love me? It's his question. Lovest thou me? How do we know? We can know. We'll consider from Peter, but let's first sing Psalter 384. 384, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 384, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Question. Lovest thou me? What an earnest inquiry into our hearts. What a heart-searching affection. Lovest thou me? How may we know? Can we know? Can we know? And we need to be honest with ourselves, congregation. Be honest with yourselves. If the end of this service, or maybe already, you say, I miss it, be honest. May you become lost. May you go home and confess, Lord, thou hast made me in thy image to love thee. And it's only enmity, hatred. There is no love. Confess it. And beg him, that mighty, powerful God who can change the hearts of enemies and to plant that love in hearts, beg him. Beg him, wrestle with him, that you cannot let him go until he blesses you. Lovest thou me? Do you? There's feelings involved, right? There's feelings involved in love. If you ask me, do you love your children? I have 8 children, and I have 8 grandchildren. If you ask me, do you love them? And I said, I don't know. I'm trying to. How do you think my children would feel? Dad, really? You're trying to? That doesn't satisfy them. That hurts. That's not an answer. The Lord is not asking, are you trying? Do you know you need to? No, he's asking right to the heart, lovest thou me? How can you know? I know I love my children. I love my wife. I love my grandchildren. I feel it in the heart. Sometimes there's feelings, deep feelings. Peter, he could answer. The Lord asked him. And Peter didn't answer. I don't know. I'm trying to. I hope to. I will. No. Peter said, he answered, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Because Peter at times also had that burning feeling, affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter felt love in his heart for him. Is there affection in your heart? You can feel it. You can know it. At times, yes, there's flames burning like those men to Emmaus. Their hearts burned within them. For what? For him who walked beside them. For that precious Savior. Jesus is asking, lovest thou me? How can I know? How can you know? Is there feelings? Is there affection sometimes? But let's look at the life of Peter. Because Peter explains how we may know that there's life. How may we know if there's love, affection? Grief because of sin. Really? Is that a proof of love? Yes. Remember Peter? He denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. And what happened after the 3rd time? The Lord Jesus Christ, that good shepherd, turned and looked at him. And oh, Peter looked into those eyes of that precious master. And I don't believe for a moment he saw hatred. He saw deep, wounded love. Peter, really? Peter, you don't know me? What happened to Peter? He just go home? Just go home? No. What happened? He went out and wept bitterly. Peter deeply grieved in his heart. Such deep, profane pain because he sinned against all the love of his good master. Man without grace can grieve because the consequences of sin. But man with grace, with God's grace that he planted in their hearts, they grieve because there's love for him. Love for him. By nature, there is no love. But by grace, there comes love. Especially when they may know that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they sin against him, against all his love, against all his goodness, for such a sinful wretch, it becomes so deeply painful. May I ask you, are you wondering, do you love him? Then there will be pain. Maybe not tears running down your face. Maybe at times, yes, you just weep. Such a fool. So wicked. Against all those blessings. Against all the goodness. I've been so wicked. And he's been so good. It just breaks your heart. And you just pour it out. You seek a quiet place to weep. Is there pain? Is there pain that you sin against God? Against his goodness? That's a mark of love. Children, if you do something against the neighbor, and he says, hey, why did you do that? Well, I'm sorry. Do you feel pain? No, because you don't know him. You don't know him. But when your mother, when you do something against your mother and you see that pain in her eyes, and it's painful because you love her, it hurts. An example, God's people, those lambs, those sheep, they grieve because of sin, because there's love. It's a mark of love. But is there only feelings? sometimes there's not so much feelings. Let's take an example of a married couple. Honeymoon. Lots of feelings. Lots of feelings. But then they come home and life carries on. Those feelings, are they always at such a peak? No. But does love go lower? No. It grows deeper. Why? Because you know the person more, and there comes an attitude, there comes a commitment. Love grows. No, it's not just in feelings, but it's in depth with the heart. Faithfulness, commitment, attitudes. You want to hear their voice. You seek to come home to see her again, to speak with them again. You seek to have a relationship continually, to hear their voice, as the Song of Solomon, the voice of my beloved. They long to hear his voice. They seek him. They open the word. They want to have time with him. And is there always those lively feelings? No. But it's shown that they cannot live without him. Can you live without him? Can you absolutely live without him? Then I must say you have no love. But do you long for him? Did he come, visit you, save you, wash you, cleanse you, help you, work all those needs in your heart and your soul that you need? The Song of Solomon said, by night on my bed I sought him, who? Whom my soul loveth. Is that you seeking him? Maybe not such profound feelings, but all looking to him, longing for him, waiting for him. When will he speak? When will he visit? When will he come again? When will he comfort my soul again? The Lord Jesus Christ is asking, lovest thou me? How may we know? Because there is feelings at times, but other times we see it by how we live with an attitude and a commitment to him, longing that he would visit. But how else? They begin to long to live for him, for his honor, for his glory. How is that done? By obeying his commandments. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love in the heart makes a sinner want to get rid of everything that is displeasing to God and a longing to do everything that is pleasing to him. And how? How we may know? By his commandments. It's the expression of love. Love to the Lord. So may I ask you, is there times that you may feel those affections? That you can't deny it. Maybe you don't even want to tell someone else, but there's affection. Is there grief because of sin? Because of what you have done, what you do, and what you still remain to be. But also, do you seek him through the word? You can't live without him. You long. And do you have a heart that longs to live according to his commandments, his will, fighting sin, killing sin, as we hope to hear tonight? How did Peter live? He received a command. He received a command, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, follow me. And what do we see through the rest of the word of God? Peter dedicated, denying self, serving that good master faithfully. Who should I obey, man or God? I will obey my master, even if I have to suffer, sacrificing, surrendering. Because to have his favor is life. And to be without his favor is not life. To be blessed with everything and to be missing him is nothing. And to suffer with his favor is everything. That was the life of Peter until death. My friend, do you know something of affection? The Lord is asking, lovest thou me? And they can never confess, oh Lord, I have such great love. Those people, they can confess in my heart, there is affection. They can reflect on their life, how they live, a longing, grief because of sin, and a longing to obey and serve him. Why? Because of love. Love that he planted in their hearts goes out unto him, unto that triune God, the Father and the Son, unto the Son, that Savior of sinners. And maybe you ask, how could the Lord ever love such a wretch as me? Is that your question this morning? Could he ever love such a wicked sinner, such a depraved sinner, such a hopeless case? Is that your question? Yes. Why? Because of that sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the agape love. He can love the chiefest. He can love the vilest. He can love the most hard-hearted, wretched ones. He can renew them. He can draw them. He can teach them. Oh, what a precious Savior. But lambs, sheep, why do you love him? Why do you love him? The answer is, because he loved me first. That's the hope. No, we will not be saved by our love. We will be saved because he loved us and taught us and renewed us, and we begin to love him. Salvation is in the love of God, but the recipients begin to love him and long to be with him. And will they? Nothing will separate from his love. Nothing. His love. No, Peter's sin didn't separate from the love of that precious Savior. He looked on him with love, and he kept him, and he held on to him. All that love is an eternal love, as we read in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, from eternity to eternity, through the blood of the Lamb. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good. Peter fell, but the Lord did not turn away from him to do him good. What love! But I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. Blessed people. Who are they? They begin to love him. They begin to love God. And they begin to love that second person, the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And let's end with what we read in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That love him. Lovest thou me? There's a future. An unspeakable future where it will be all agape love. God loving them fully. And them loving him fully with their whole being. That's heaven. Will you be there? Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we have heard that question from thy mouth, lovest thou me? Oh, may we each search our own hearts. And those who must confess that they miss this love, oh Lord, we beg thee that thou would awaken them and that they may become lost. But thy dear people that have love for thee, and who also come to love that only Savior of sinners, oh, may they be given to also by thy Spirit truly answer as Peter did. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee, that I have affection for thee in spite of all my sin and who I remain to be. Lord, bless thy word richly by the power of the Holy Spirit, and may we acknowledge thee for this time together in thy house to hear thy word, for thy help to listen and to proclaim. Remember then also this morning, as it will be the last time for catechism, give a blessing upon it, and all the truths that have been taught unto the children and the teenagers. Bless it richly, Lord. But they'll bring us again together tonight. Give opening, give a blessing upon thy word, we ask. For Jesus' sake alone, amen. Let us sing now in closing from Psalter 239, stanzas 1 and 2. Zion on the holy hills, God thy maker loves thee well. All thy courts his presence fills, he delights in thee to dwell. And what follows, 239, stanzas 1 and 2. Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.